You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist, a focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense, and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate, and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is, if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
Thank you. All right, welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionrdo.com. You are listening to St. Thomas Show, and I am your host. That's right, Sonny motherfucking T. Biatch. If you want to call in and listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. Oh, that's interesting. I'm just logging on Drudge Report, and he's already got Drudge Report 2021 at the top of his tab. That's a bit premature, but I remember 2019, he had it as 2020, I think, for a while, too, so who knows. But Drudge has gone so far left anymore, it's not even a reliable source. Matter of fact, even his hits have gone down dramatically by the millions since he's been swinging to the left. But what do you expect? I think he smells blood in the water, plus he's a Jew, and he's going to get the fuck out, because either he's been threatened, or he knows something we don't. And since he had the information knowing that they were going to start putting people in internet ghettos, either right before or after Scalia died. Actually, it was probably before, because I think Scalia may have told him that, at least told Alex Jones that, during one of his very few interviews he had. But anyways, that being said, you know, Drudge is no longer really a reliable source of information. It is a good compendium of current events. So you still get some general idea what's going on, but when it comes to stuff regarding Trump now, and especially the Democrats, it's no longer a really reliable sources of information. But, you know, there is some information that you can still use. But nevertheless, so now Dan Bongino has the Bongino Report, and his suggestive sell is to get Drudge, go to Bongino. So, actually, I've been on his website. I don't think it's as eye-catching as Drudge's is, for the simple fact that it's not laid out in the classic 90s style like Drudge's, which makes it easy to focus on the subject matter or the titles. But it is a pretty good resource in its own right of some really good information on there as well. So I'd recommend on your news favorites file, if you keep that on your in your folders or whatever, is to, yeah, I think it's, yes, the BonginoReport.com. So you can go to click on that, and he's got a pretty good compilation of different top stories that's going on currently. And, oh, we can only get so lucky. Okay, well, here's a prime example. Yeah, so John Durham now looking into Clinton Foundation, FBI's handling of investigation. Good luck with that. He'll probably wind up dead. But anyways, it is broken down a little bit more by category as you scroll down a little bit. He also has a big advertisement for his Parler channel, which I do follow as well. And he does have it broken down by category. So it is actually fairly neatly laid out clean. So I would definitely say it is much more reliable resource probably than Drudge Report is. But again, it is a news source, and you can take it or leave it. But, you know, between that and InfoWars, you can easily get a pretty good idea of what's going on in the current world of politics. Another one is SummitNews.net, I do believe, which is Paul Joseph Watson's website. Of course, a lot of the same stories will wind up on InfoWars or NewsWars.com, but there's a lot of good stuff there. I thought about doing something like that at one time. I was kind of building a site, but, you know, it's such a pain in the ass. Unless you got staff to maintain it and everything else, to me, it's just a lot of work. And so now, if I was to actually generate some revenue off of it, where basically that was turning into one of my main bread and butters, then I would consider doing something like that. Here's one on InfoWars. More migrants crossed English Channel this month than all of last year. So it seems like everybody's trying to get over there for the Brexit is finally finalized. That's what it seems like to me. So that's an interesting thing of itself. Before we go off on some of these other news stories, I want to tell you to check out many of our other social media websites. Go to stthomas.com as the fastest book page. You can find us on Gab at gab.com/stthomasshow and at resolutionrdo. You can also go on parlor.com/stthomasshow, and we also have a presence on Telegram. We are there at t.me/stthomasshow. as well as at Resolution RDO. Okay. And so we got a really good lineup of shows now. We finally have programs on 7 days a week. And I would love to have more original programming, but that will come eventually. But for right now, I think I've got a really good comprehensive list of shows on this radio network. So we do cover a lot of great different talents, and we make sure that those are available as well. So on Mondays, we have American Dissident Voices with Kevin Offerstrom. On Tuesdays, we have Solar Storm with Kyle Hunt. Wednesdays is Radio Free South Africa, featuring Karen Smith as well as Spock. I always have a hard time remembering his last name. Ben Demeter? I have to look that up again. But anyway, so Radio Free South Africa is on Wednesdays. Thursday is, of course, the Sunshine Ship. Friday is the Political Cesspool with James Edwards. And Saturday is Nordic Frontier, the English language program of the Nordic Resistance Movement. And now back on Sundays is European American News with your host, Gunnar Troy. Now, Gunnar's going to be joining us here in a moment. We're going to talk about something he had covered on his show this past Sunday. So this past Sunday hails the full-time return of European American News to the Resolution Radio Network. His schedule is now finally freed up enough where he's able to contribute a regular program. So I highly encourage you to check out that show as well. He had two guests on. He had Brian Culpepper on. He also had a caller named Jack call in. And one of the things they talked about was it's time to start. It's time to stop putting down the vices and start getting the vice grips. Shall we say it that way? Because of the fact that worried about getting your alcohol and cigarettes is just unacceptable. You know, one of the things I do respect about the Nordic Resistance Movement is the fact that they actually have regular training courses for their people in their various groups of them that they're called NESS. Oftentimes have sparring competitions, all sorts of physical challenges, stuff they stay in good top shape, and also do probably use it to enjoy some of the Nordic and other European types of sports, like the Highlander Games and stuff like that. So you can actually have a good time, but also staying in good physical shape. I talked about HEMA, which is the Heathen European Martial Arts, or should I say Heritage European Martial Arts. Could be done either way. But basically show all the traditional ways of fighting tactics, such as with sword, with dagger, battle axe, shield, all those things that come to play that make us who we are as an individual, as far as a European community. So you look at all the different tactics, not just one particular section of Europe or another, but you look at all of them. So you look at what the Romans did, the British, going back to medieval times, all this stuff comes into play. So those are really cool stuff in its own right, and I definitely think it's worth a checkout. So I thought that was a pretty good thing. It was a very good topic. So little things like, just to give you a prime example, Karen Smith, who came here originally from South Africa, had a little bit of culture shock coming to the United States. And one of the things that she had, she was absolutely appalled that women, especially white women, would go and leave their purses in the shopping carts. So that was quite interesting that she would bring that up. And other people I know also from South Africa, oh no, you definitely don't fucking leave your purse in a cart. And you make damn sure that you're always looking around. You wear your purse like a satchel, and you keep it close to your person, and just someone could just tag it right off of you. So they've been conditioned to think that way and to always look around their surroundings and make sure that nothing looks suspicious. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about this evening is we've gotten so lax, or especially being in our fellow white neighborhoods, that assuming that no one's going to mess with your stuff. You leave your car window down. You leave anything out there, even for just a minute, to go around the house, maybe go get a soft drink or something while you're working on your brakes or something. You come back out and fucking tools are gone. You know, certain parts of fucking white neighborhoods, especially that I lived in, I would expect that. You don't leave anything lying out because some fucker will come by and steal your shit, especially if there's any niggers in the damn neighborhood. But that being said, people take lax that just because you're in the right neighborhood, nobody's going to take your stuff. My uncle found that out the hard way. He on the street where I lived for a long time growing up. My grandfather bought that house back in the mid-1960s, and then he inherited it. And it was interesting enough is that he used a plug-in air compressor to pump tires up on his vehicle. And he has car door open so he can do it. And no sooner did he go back into his backyard to get something. He thought he heard a noise because he's back there with my mom talking about, you know, vegetables or whatever. He come running out that damn door, and sure as shit, some fucker jumped in his car and stole his fucking ride. And not to mention the fact that he had tools in it, he also had fucking weapons. So, I mean, pissed him off, and they never did recover that vehicle. So most likely, he probably went to a truck shop. And, of course, you know, who knows what happened to the fucking firearm that was in there. It's probably been used for an illegal activity. Hopefully, he didn't register it. So, and, of course, he's passed away now anyway. So, but still, that just happened fairly recently. And that neighborhood's really gone to shit since I left there back in the mid-1990s. So it was starting to go a little bit shitty growing up, but the last 25 years, it's definitely, I mean, the next road over, they got so many dindus in that fucking street, dude, it's starting to look like fucking, you know, starting to look like Hoover Avenue. I mean, it's getting that bad, so I guess it's a good thing that, you know, that everyone's gotten out of that fucking area, because most of the people live in that street, there's only one or two people that I know that still live there. I mean, family that I used to hang with their son and thought of his mom as a second mom. I still live there at the end of the street. And she's starting to get pretty feeble. She's about as close as my mom's age, but I see her when she walks. She's definitely, you know, getting down to her last years. And sadly, if something happened, I wouldn't even know about it unless I regularly read the newspaper. But, you know, that's a sad course of events. But the coolest thing was I met her granddaughter who isn't that old. I mean, she's like maybe 19. I was like, wow, shit, you know. I didn't even think he had any kids, but yeah, it was pretty cool. So good to see the next generation go on. But anyway, we need to start being more vigilant. When we go out to the stores, especially if you're a woman, you should not travel alone in some cases. It's not that bad yet, but just the urgency that Jack, the caller, said on European American News definitely gives you some moment for pause. And I think that's something that's really important that we really need to start getting a habit of looking around. Just assume someone's watching you and that someone's going to try to take an advantage, whatever the case may be. Just assume that there's some fucker out there who, you know, wants a piece of your action and make sure you're prepared that he's going to get a piece of the action, all right, because you're going to get some action on that motherfucker, and you're going to beat the living bejesus out of him. So I think that's definitely the attitude to take. You need to be vigilant. You need to look around and just check everything just to make sure, because, you know, our neighborhoods are not as safe as they used to be, but they're steadily going downhill, especially as more minorities move into white neighborhoods.
The American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants. and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com. You're listening to The Saint Thomas Show with Saint Thomas on ResolutionRDO.com. Call in or listen now at 607-203-5423. That's 607-203-5423.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
KD Armor raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate-forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmor.com, C-A-T-I-armor.com. Come and take it.
Bring on Gunnar Troy, the host of the European American News on Sundays. So I guarantee if you tune into that program, you will always hear some very interesting commentary. And I kind of plucked this guy from another network a few years back because I could see the potential with him. And he's morphed into exactly what I thought he would be, a very interesting, observant guy of what's going on with our European American people and also politics in general. So Gunnar, welcome back to the Saint Thomas Show.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Sonny. Always a pleasure.
Let's cover some of the stuff that Jack had talked about on your program on Sunday. And again, I encourage you all to go back and listen to his program. I think it was probably the first half hour, 40 minutes of the program. Caller Jack called in, and he really hit some stuff really out of the ballpark. I mean, we're talking major home runs. Pete Rose breaking Ty Cobb record, like hit runs every time, and he was spot on. And Brian and Gunnar, as well as I, probably agree with them about 99%. So I definitely think there's some interesting stuff there. So Gunnar, just kind of run over off the top of your head some of the things that Jack covered that definitely struck a nerve as you were running the board.
Well, I mean, if you listen to the show, I mean, you know that Jack was just someone who called into the show. I mean, he was not invited to call in or anything like that. And it just goes to show you how valuable our listeners can be to our program. So, I mean, we always are encouraging our callers and our listeners to call in and contribute. And you're right. I mean, everything he said, he hit the nail right on the head. I mean, one of the things that stuck out with me is, you know, he has this definitely a radio voice. And he had been doing radio himself, shows back when we were on a whole talk show, if anybody remembers the shows that used to go on there. He had a show on that network. And one of the first things that he said that really, you know, struck me was he called this a yellow alert. I mean, we really are. We're living in a yellow alert. And he was absolutely right. Now is not the time to still be in the preparation phase for what's coming. If you're not already ready, there's a good chance that you're not going to make it. And just, you know, some of the tips and some of the advice that he gave on the show as far as things that you need to be doing already, like you already brought up, you know, maybe sustaining right now, you know, more than ever from alcohol, your cigarettes. And hey, you know, I'm somebody who likes to sit back and have a cigar and have a beer. But if that's something that you feel that you have to have in your life or you're not going to make it, well, the days are coming where that stuff's probably going to be hard to find. And, you know, I brought up the point is when he was done with his first thoughts that, you know, now's not the time to have an unclear mind or an unsteady hand. You know, we are living right now in a war zone. You can see it all across our country. Right here in my own state of Kentucky, you can see what's going on with the Breonna Taylor decision and the fact that, you know, two police officers were shot in a riot last night. And, you know, what he said is we need to have our heads on a swivel. You know, we need to be aware of our surroundings at all time. You know, take nothing for granted. Like you said, the fact that you live in a nice area, if you just go out into your neighborhoods and to your, you know, local Walmart or your local gas station or, you know, whatever it should be, you can definitely tell that the demographics and the scenery within our own cities has been changing. And it seems like lately this change has been sped up. I mean, I'm seeing more and more people in my own area here in Kentucky, and this is a very, very, very white part of Kentucky. I mean, you think Kentucky, very, very white anyway. But, I mean, I've just noticed here over the last just 6 or 7 months that the landscape and the scenery, you know, in my own city here has changed drastically. I mean, all you really need to do is go to the local McDonald's and see who's working in there now. And yeah, almost half or not more of the employees that are working now in this white area McDonald's are African Americans. And I mean, it's like, where are these people coming from? Where are they living? Do they not have a McDonald's for them to work at where they're living? Because I don't think the majority of these people live out here. So, I mean, he was absolutely spot on with so many of the things he said as far as, you know, the preparation. He went over so much because, I mean, I basically just let him talk. He was making a lot of good points. And when you call into the show and you're making good points, well, I'm more than happy just to let you talk and fill up some of my 2 hours. That's fine with me. You know, I encourage that. So, I mean, again, if you want to hear everything he said, you got to go back and listen to European and American news from last Sunday. I have encouraged him to call back in the future. Hopefully he will do that. I mean, like I said, though, he just gave a lot of good points as far as things you need to have, you know, bug out bags, stuff that you need to have in this bag, you know, have a rendezvous point. If you have a second or third automobile that, you know, you're not having to use all the time, you know, put that somewhere. You know, that you know that you can get to another automobile should you have to. The fact that you may have to walk, you know, that this is not the time to be out of shape. So maybe, you know, put down the sweets. You know, I like my ice cream and cookies and everything like that. But, you know, like you brought up at the beginning of the show, you know, getting in shape right now and being prepared for what's coming is the most important and vital thing that we can do right now. because we can see that it is a war zone out there right now in a lot of these major cities. And it's only a matter of time, Sonny, until this starts creeping into our suburbs. And in some areas, it already has.
Well, now that we've already seen the outreach of demographics. For example, here in the Dayton, Ohio area, East Dayton used to be a pretty decent blue-collar neighborhood. Now, the Lower East End always had your scumbums. North Dayton, years and years ago, used to be a Polish neighborhood way back in the day, but then it just became like the dredge of society when it comes to white people up there. I mean, we're talking, no offense to my brothers and sisters, but we're talking like upper lower class folks. I mean, basically people just barely working to pay the rent. And of course the rent's gone up higher and higher and higher every few years. And it's to the point someone did a study. It says, especially on minimum wage, you cannot pay almost any amount of rent in the United States unless you have a private arrangement with somebody or you're renting a room or something that you can keep the cost down. But they said, because, I mean, the rate's on for average, just around here, you look at even a studio, you're looking at every bit of $500 a month, which is completely absurd. I've always said, if you pay more than $500 a month on rent, you're wasting your fucking money. I'd rather have it on a mortgage. So that way, at least you're paying towards owning something. But if you falter in any way, shape, or form and can't get back on your feet right away, well, guess what? The bank takes your shit. And I had a friend of mine whose wife got sick who was making pretty good money, and she wasn't able to work, and she had like a real bad iron deficiency or something. And I remember one day he was helping me put some speakers in my car, and she hadn't been outside in like months, and she was so jaundiced looking. I mean, I was like, oh my God, I've never seen her look like that. I mean, it was like, I mean, fucking, like Pokemon was walking outside. I mean, seriously, she was that yellow. And then, of course, you have to get iron transfusions. And, of course, the insurance plan he had at the time, he had the HSA instead of the traditional pool. And so every time he would have to go and get her an iron transfusion, it would wipe out his account, put it in a hole, and then he had to pay the rest of the bill, and he would never have enough to even take his kids to the dentist. So shit like that can really wipe you out quick. And then they ended up losing their home because of the fact that when he went to catch up the late payments, because he was working a lot of overtime on his end, and he didn't even know who to make the check out to. He found his mortgage had been filtered through probably five or six different banks since he actually bought the property, and didn't even know who to make the check out to. And then when he finally did, they wouldn't take the check because then they had more money foreclosing on your house. So eventually Carl Banker took it over or something like that, and basically said, I'll tell you what, we'll make you a deal. If you don't tear up the house, I'll pay you $2,000 to move, and we won't write it off as a foreclosure. What a sweet deal. Luckily for him, so he didn't end up on the street. He had a brother-in-law who's in real estate and was able to get him a house in his old neighborhood where he had grown up at. So, I mean, that's kind of the bad thing. It can't come in a full circle, but at least he was able to get a house, and eventually he was able to buy it, and now it's their mortgage. But again, 2 weeks after he bought the damn house, their mortgage was sold off. So, I mean, it's amazing some shit that goes on. But that being said, I think the thing we got to look at, too, is we need to make sure that we definitely need to be looking at how we manage our time right now. I mean, a bunch of our people are still off of work due to this fake hoax COVID crap. And some of us have been able to take some of the good fortunes from Uncle Trump and to stash some money away. Others have been maybe buying some prep material or maybe looking at contingency plans, just like you mentioned. I mean, some of us do have bug-out plans. If the shit gets hairy to cities, first thing you do is get the hell out. And you want to try to have a couple different points to go as far away from the center of the city as possible, because they are going to be coming to the burbs. Because in the last couple of major riots, before all this shit started happening for the last 9 months, you know, every time there was a riot or some, you know, darkie getting shot, you'd see them edit the damn shit, and they were saying, don't be tearing up your own fucking neighborhood. Take that shit to the fucking suburbs. Go out there and put motherfucking white people shit. Well, I can tell you, you come down my neighborhood looking for trouble, you fucking found it, motherfucker. Because I tell you what, I've been either looking at whose yard signs are in what fucking yard, and if I know if they have a Biden sign, I'm assuming they're the enemy. and I'm going to be watching them very closely. Those have Trump signs, or I've had conversations with them, like, hey, can we depend on you at a moment's notice, like a minute man, to fucking come to par, man, because we start seeing some shit coming down the fucking street. We need to organize fast, and we have to assume that traditional methods of communication may no longer be available. Something as simple as having a simple Morse code with flashlights through the windows might be all you have to notify your neighbor. So things like that. And so that's one of the things I really like about Billy Roper, is that he's put together a serial network where basically within 150-mile radius, or at least within one tank of gas, you have individuals you can go to, and you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. You want to have them spread out. Like, maybe this guy's got more food provisions. Maybe another one has more ammunition. Maybe this one has more ability for self-sustainment, like maybe they buy a lake and so you can fish. It's easy defensible position. All those things come into play, and the more into the country they are, the better. So, you know, like the Hank Williams Jr. song, country folks can't survive. Here's another reason to prove why that they can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just to go along with your point about the, you know, the neighborhoods and our, you know, for lack of a better word, poorer brothers and sisters, you find, Sonny, that a lot of them are trapped in these neighborhoods now because the neighborhood has gotten so bad. And, I mean, you know, the very example that comes to mind right away is Detroit. I mean, so many of those people that live down there now, basically they have to give their house away in order to get out of there. I mean, houses selling down there for $10,000 and $15,000. Who in the world is going to take $10,000 or $15,000 for their home in order to get out of there? I mean, you would have to find yourself in such a bad situation that your life was definitely in danger, but before you could justify taking that kind of a loss to get yourself moved. So, I mean, we find a lot of our brothers and sisters are now trapped in these neighborhoods and they have nowhere else to go. They can't get out, but now's the time to definitely start thinking about, you know, even if you have to take a loss, get the hell out of these neighborhoods, get the hell away from the city, because it's coming, Sonny. I mean, a decade ago, 15 years ago, you know, when I started into this movement and, you know, started doing shows about 6 years ago now, there was time to prepare. You know, this was something that was off in the future. It's no longer off in the future. It is here. It is now. And we are under attack every day. You know, whether you are physically being attacked by another person every day, the media is attacking you every day. The you know, all these advocate groups are attacking you every day. And it's not a matter of if, but just now when. When are they going to be coming out to the suburbs? And like you said, you're absolutely right. They come through my neighborhood and, well, they're going to find a more trouble than they bargained for. I can tell you that right now. Neighborhood watch has kind of become a thing of the past, especially in good neighborhoods. You know, you depend on the police officers to be there out on patrol and to be able to reach you in a reasonable amount of time to save your life. If you're living in one of these cities, these police are basically, they're coming to work, but they're on strike. They're not leaving the precinct. They're not patrolling like they were. Excuse me. So the neighborhood watch may be something that we need to start bringing back into our neighborhoods. You know, you need to have a couple people, three or four, who are able at, you know, different times during the day in shifts, but three and four at a time. So, you know, no one's ever alone policing and patrolling our neighborhoods and letting, you know, the other people that are like-minded within the neighborhood know exactly what's going on should shit hit the fan in your neighborhood. So, I mean, I honestly think that, like you said, if you see a Trump sign in their yard, this may be someone you want to talk to. Hey, times are getting crazy. Eventually, this crap's going to spill over into our neighborhoods. We all need to be banded together and informing each other of what's going on. And if crap comes this way, at a minute's notice, like the Minutemen, we need to be able to ready and able to defend our own, you know, our loved ones, our property, whatever it may be. So, I mean, it's a messed up world right now, Sonny. It really is. You know, like I said, 10, 15 years ago, that this was down the road. Well, it's no longer down the road. It is here. It is right now. And if we don't stand up for ourselves, no one else is going to. You know, the police aren't coming. I mean, they're probably still going into the good neighborhoods, you know, for like a robbery or something like that. But police all over the country, they're not doing their job anymore because they know the repercussions of going out there and now doing their job.
Well, not only that, but like I was talking about earlier, that the demographics using Dayton as a model, you know, because Dayton used to be a really good blue-collar town, and it used to be like a size C market. And at our peak, I think we had about, you know, 500,000 people here in the city. We're down, we've barely got maybe 125 million at that, or no, sorry, 125,000. So, I mean, it's really diminished a lot since the 70s and 80s. I mean, I've seen it dramatically as I've gone downtown, just sometimes walking around. Businesses that used to be there are no longer there. They're all boarded up. They're gone. You know, it's not as bad as, like, sections of Detroit or Baltimore. But then you go on the west side of Dayton where all the blacks are, and it just looks like freaking Escape from New York over there. I mean, it's pretty fucking shitty sometimes. But, you know, what's interesting is you know, the thing we got to be careful of, too, is, especially our older folks, you mentioned, like, you know, making sure you have voyeurs and stuff. Old people always like to look out the windows to see what's going on. There's always someone who has a pair of binoculars, always like to spy on the neighbor. But don't just spy on the neighbor. Spy down the street. Find out what's, get used to seeing things. You know, when you sit here on the porch, look at stuff, listen to things. Anything sounds out of tune or just out of place, I mean, you get a sense of these things, even if you're not astute. You just notice something's wrong. Either someone looks crazy. I'll give you an example. The other day, on my folks' place, and black guy's walking down the street, which I'd never seen before, and he's pretty damn dark. And he's got on some fucking, he's got an iPod, and he gets to listen to music, and he's fucking, you know, just kind of dancing around as he's walking down the street, and I'm just kind of like, what the fuck? And then I'm sitting there as I'm getting ready to walk to my car, looking at him at the end of the street, and I just sat there and watched this fucker, dude. He's sitting at the end of the block, dancing around like ain't nobody's business. I'm like, man, it must be a really damn good song he's listening to, you know? And then as he starts to walk down the road, you know, he's got his shirt off, and he's whooping around all over the place like it was a goddamn tomahawk or some shit. I mean, seriously, I'm just going, what the fuck? And I just started, and then I took off, and I drove down the road, and I said, you know what? Something just don't look right about that. So I turned around into a church, come back, go back up the road, and he was gone. So he just, poof, disappeared like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I told my mother afterwards, I said, you know, you need, when you're out there piddling around in the yard, you need to just look around you. Don't be always keeping your face down because you're, you know, paying attention, you're gardening or cutting your grass or whatever. You need to fucking look around you and be observing. Because I know she knows these things, but she's to the point where she's just trying to do things to enjoy her golden years. But the same stroke, I'm sitting going, you need to be looking around. Mom, I mean, the old people have a tendency to do that. They look at shit, and they see things. Especially from a mom's background, she would know something out of place. But I was like, just be observant when you look around. I think that was a trial balloon for him to walk down the road there and see if anyone would fucking say anything to him or even notice. And that's how it starts. I think what I'm really concerned about is after November 3rd, Trump said he's not going to he is going to contest any election results because of the fact that he knows it's rigged. So he has no intentions of backing out. And you hear the left saying all the time, Trump isn't going to leave. We're going to have to take him out. He's going to have to physically be taken out of the White House. And so they're already planning on stealing the election there, Gunner. So, I mean, that's my biggest issue. As you look in these towns and what's going on, I mean, you know, with the riots and all that shit, what's going to happen is they're just going to go into white neighborhoods, and especially if they have, you know, like driving by an apartment complex or a condo or maybe some fairly high-end houses that are by the main drag, they'll just drive by and just shoot indiscriminately at the windows just because they know they're white houses. And next thing you know, you have a friend, a neighbor, or a parent is struck down by a bullet, or even worse, grandchildren. Your own kids could be in that house, dude, and they shoot at the damn windows just while the kid's looking out there. Next thing you know, a kid catches a bullet, and you have no way to track this motherfucker down. So that's the worst part of it, is I think they're just going to indiscriminately start shooting at houses in white neighborhoods doing drive-bys. And Dave says they'll know they'll be able to get away with it. Even if someone has a camera system, most of them can't make out the license plates from any decent distance. So all you got is a possible make and model of a vehicle and no way to identify unless it has something really obvious about it, like, you know, a crunched-in fender or, you know, mismatched fucking wheels. That's the only way you're going to be able to identify that vehicle from any other vehicle down the street. And who's to say that they didn't boost that car from a white neighborhood, go shoot up the place, so that way that person gets the blame for it, and then wipe the car of all the prints and shit, and the next thing you know, the person that had the car stolen is blamed for a murder that never had, that they had nothing to do with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, even besides just the random, maybe they're shooting up our neighborhoods, I mean, we know that these people, they look for who they consider to be the weakest of us. They truly are cowards. They look for those who they deem to be the weakest of us, which would be our women, our children, our elderly. And these are the people that they choose to attack. You know, when anytime you see the knockout game played or you know, a robbery happen, it's someone like that that they consider to be the weakest of us. Now, I'm not saying that those are necessarily the weakest of our people, but that's who they target because that's who they think are the weakest. So if you are a woman, if you have kids, you know, it's very important that your kids are understanding what is going on in our country right now. And they, too, you know, are always aware of their surroundings because, I mean, this could happen to any of them at any time. You know, they could be the victim of a robbery or a rape or the knockout game or what have you. And, I mean, these people really are cowards. So in addition to just the random shootings that are probably going to start happening in our neighborhoods very, very soon, this is also something we got to be aware of. It may not be a group of them. You know, it may not be a group of them marching down their street. It may be that one dancing happy Negro that you think is just, you know, jamming out to his iPod or whatever, walking down your street, and all of a sudden he's attacking you or he's trying to knock you out or rape you, or maybe he's casing houses. You know, maybe that's what he was doing that day, just walking down the neighborhood, seeing who's home, seeing who's not, seeing what places he might be, have easy access. So, I mean, really, the fact of remaining vigilant right now, it's never been more important than it is right now. You absolutely have to have your head on a swivel at all times and not be so wrapped up in what you're doing that you don't know what's going on around you, because this is what these people thrive on, these parasites and these cowards. This is what they're looking for. They're looking for easy targets. They're looking for that person who's not paying attention, who's gullible and naive to what's going on in the world right now and thinking, oh, well, not my neighborhood. Well, think again, you know, because none of us are safe from these types of attacks. None of us.
Well, none of that, but like I've mentioned this program many times before, when you got these loser guys who puff up their chest like a peacock and think it's manly to scream at a fucking TV screen because their favorite football team is on and think that's going to help them play any better, then they're a goddamn fool. Like I said, when you care more about what Carson Palmer does for the Bengals, but you don't know a goddamn thing what your congressman does, then when this shit starts to go bad, this is why it comes to your neighborhood. Because you gave 2 cents about that goddamn player that can't even hear you, or even worse, it's not even a white guy as a quarterback, it's a fucking dindu who doesn't give 2 shits about this country. You know, that's the thing that pisses me off the most, man, when I see these fuckers take a knee, is because of the fact that in any other country, could any of these dumb motherfuckers have had an opportunity to go catch a ball or throw a ball and get paid millions of dollars to hopefully make it to college and then go straight to the pros until they get an injury, to, you know, throw a fucking football around. And then they want to go and take a knee to protest something during the national anthem, when this is the very country that gave them the opportunity to be able to catch that football for millions of dollars a fucking season. And if you're smart enough to manage your money, and maybe it had set something up on the side, that if you did get injured, you won't be destitute because you got so used to getting all that paydays. Once you're no longer on that team and you've lost that contract, dude, the money stops. It doesn't come in, but there is no football pension. So, yeah, guess what? So, and that's the thing that kills me, too, is that how much money do fans spend on a goddamn sports paraphernalia? I mean, taxpayers are on the hook for these goddamn stadiums all the time. The NFL does not pay any taxes whatsoever. They're considered a non-profit, for-profit organization. And so for example, the Bengals, when Riverfront Coliseum was starting to fall apart, well, it cost too much money to fix it, because you were building a new one. Okay, guess what? The taxpayers of Hamilton County got stuck with that bill. And so for a losing team, no less, like the Bengals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before all of this social justice warrior crap started happening, I mean, I could be considered one of the biggest, you know, sports fans there is. You know, I love my Kentucky basketball, despite the fact that the Bengals stink so bad. I live close enough to them that's considered, you know, my home football team. I root for them every Sunday. By this point, folks, if you haven't given up the sporty ball, you know, I don't know how else to say it, but there's something wrong with your brain. Because these are people, like you just said, that they'll kneel for the national anthem. They'll disrespect our flag, disrespect our soldiers, disrespect our country. But like you said, try going somewhere else, anywhere in the world, and doing the same thing for a living and making the kind of money you make. And then you want to tell me how racist I am. You know, when I'm buying tickets and buying jerseys and spending $9 for a beer at a ball game and $5 for a hot dog, I'm the one, you know, it's white people. You know, it's not African Americans or Hispanics who are going out to the games in record numbers each year and supporting these fools. It's us. It literally is us. And then for them to turn around, someone like stupid LeBron James, and say that there's systematic racism in this country and that all white people are racist, well, that's just bullcrap. That's bullcrap. Because nowhere else in the world, and especially his people's own home country of Africa, could he go and do this good. You know, in Africa, he'd just be another one of these freedom fighters or whatnot in one of these little tribes in Zimbabwe or wherever have you, that would probably be hacked to death by a machete by somebody in another tribe. They didn't care that he was almost seven foot tall and can dunk a basketball. They don't care anything about that. For some reason here in this country, we do. And I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, competition is a very healthy thing. It can be a good thing. But when you are supporting the people who will then turn around and spit in your face, you know, after several decades of loyal watching and loyally buying tickets, and, you know, Bengals fans still buy the season tickets every year and everything like that for a team that you know is going nowhere, hasn't won a Super Bowl, they've been to two, they lost both of those. Why are you still spending this money? You know, thousands and thousands of dollars a year to watch a loser. It absolutely makes no sense to me anymore, which is why I have tuned it out. You know, them calling us all racist when we know damn well that we're the ones supporting these people. LeBron James doesn't have a multi-million-dollar basketball contract if it wasn't for Whitey watching sports. If we tuned out, there's no money to be made there for the owners. So they're not going to pay these players this much. They're not going to be able to charge as much to get into a game. The whole thing just kind of would fall apart if we just decided to boycott it and do other more productive things with our time and our money. So, I mean, just anymore, like I said, if you're still watching that crap and hinging or hanging on every word or every play that these fools are making on the court, and then to hear them come off the court and we hear what they're really all about with their social warrior agenda, it's absolutely ridiculous that we would still support these people.
Something else you should mention, too, is that LeBron James, as well as former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, are really doing election meddling right now. Bloomberg has just paid the fines of 32,000, count it, 32,000 felons, so they can get the right to vote back, which means majority of them are probably going to vote Democrat. LeBron James is also doing the same thing in California. He's going to pay a bunch of felons' fines so that way they'll be eligible to vote. Now, especially being this close to an election, then it should be set up where, okay, fine, you cannot vote in this election, because if you're going to pay your fine, you have to pay within 90 days before an election. I mean, there's got to be some kind of stipulation there. But again, how is that not election meddling? And not to mention
that
Florida has a potential to turn blue because they've got over a million Puerto Ricans that are refugees there because the island was decimated by a hurricane, and their own government has done nothing to restore the infrastructure, much less the order in that freaking territory. And then top that off, I saw a story in Politico today that said, surprisingly, Republicans are doing an excellent job in registering people to vote Republican in Dade County. So Dade County, which is traditionally Democrat, has definitely got a tighter margin now of more registered Republicans. How about that?
Well, I mean, I expected that this would start to happen. I mean, you cannot do what the Communist Democratic Party is doing all across the country right now and not expect more people who do not agree with what's going on. And you can see it. I mean, think what you want about the polls, because we know that most of these polls, they have no idea what's going on, because I don't – either one, they're talking to the wrong people. They're only talking to mostly Democrat voters. Or two, they're not getting a lot of answers from people, because I think a lot of people are afraid to say, you know, yes, I'm going to vote for Trump this time around. I mean, it opens you up. Who's standing around listening to you during the interview when you're telling them who you might vote for? So, I mean, I think a lot of people aren't saying what they're going to do. But, I mean, the case of Bloomberg, and LeBron James, they are absolutely buying votes. Buying votes. Now, that is against the law, and those two fools should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of it. And, I mean, to go and pay the fines of felons, I mean, these aren't people who were just convicted of a traffic ticket one day and decided not to pay the ticket. No, these are your rapists. These are your murderers. These are your armed robbers. And the Democratic Party, they value these people. We see just how much they value these people when one of them attacks the cop and has to, you know, be put down by the police officers because they have no other option at this point. And it's all hands across America for this total piece of shit, son. I mean, just total pieces of crap. Every one of these stories that come out where the cop has had to shoot a person of color, once you get all the facts in, this is no one you would want around you. This is not someone you'd call your friend. This is not someone you would take your children to hang out with. I mean, it's just, again, all hands across America for these total pieces of garbage, and that's what we have from the Democratic Party. They are so thirsty and power hungry, Sonny, that they'll do anything they can to get the presidency back from Trump, because they understand that things were going along great during the Obama administration. Boy, it looked like a Republican or a conservative or white nationalist-minded person would never be elected again. All the polls said so during the 2016 election, that there was no way Trump could win. Hillary was going to win in a landslide, and he won in the landslide. So, I mean, you really can't put a lot of faith in these polls for the votes throughout the state. But what you can put a lot of faith in is what actually matters to the citizens in these cities that are seeing all the turbulence right now. And they are very, very concerned with what's going on. And that's going to fall right in line with more people registering to vote, registering for the Republicans, because this is no joke anymore. That they can see what's going on with their own eyes. You know, the city next to them, or the city they live in, being, you know, almost burnt to the ground by these communists, and it's got to be concerning. And in every poll that has come out, that they ask the folks, you know, do you agree with what's going on in the neighborhood right now, this type of protesting, it's a resounding 65% to 75% no, we don't agree with this, and it scares these people to death. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that more people are going to get registered to vote. I was watching one of the news channels tonight, and there's a group here, I believe it's in Kentucky, which, I mean, really, this particular state, I mean, is just, we're a Republican state. You know, we don't vote Democrat, with the exception of Louisville. That'll be the one little blue
state
that you see. Well, you know what, though, Sonny? The previous governor, he pissed off a lot of people. He pissed off the teachers union. He was destined to lose. He screwed that up for himself, and they decided to elect the Democrat Beshear. But he's not doing so well. There's a lot of Kentuckians that are not happy with him right now. And his little speech yesterday after the Taylor decision that they were not going to bring charges against two of the cops at all, and the fact that the other charges they brought against the third cop was basically just wanton endangerment that actually had nothing to do with that Taylor girl at all. It had to do with him firing off his weapon in a, I guess, reckless manner, and actually bullets going into another apartment other than hers. So, but Beshear's not making any friends right here. He will be a one-term governor. He's handled the COVID thing very, very badly. If you look at Kentucky, there's only about, it's like 64,000 cases confirmed right now, and under 1,500 deaths in this state. And yet, because he's a Democrat and he's the governor, a lot of things are shut down. And Kentuckians, we don't see the need for that. So he's not making any friends here. He's not going to last long. He'll be a one-term governor. I can guarantee you that. But
yeah, I can tell you, DeWine just announced today that they're going to loosen up some restrictions on restaurants and bars to be able to have more available stuff for like buffets as well as live entertainment. So that's definitely going to help a lot, because a lot of these places cannot operate at 50% capacity because if the margins are so slim. Many of these restaurants are either floundered or they're just barely make it. There's a restaurant I hear that my folks go to that I think has some really good food, a little small mom-and-pop shop. They're in the process of upgrading some of the stuff and be able to do prime rib. Now, it's going to be a little more expensive, but the bottom line is it's basically a lure to get people in to come into the restaurant. Now, they did have a carryout, so that's one thing that's helped them survive it, is that when they lost a good majority of their staff after the shutdown, because a lot of them wouldn't come back. So they had a real hard time dealing with some of the stuff, but I think they did okay. But, again, they're trying to improvise, adapt, and overcome. But, when they introduced Mike DeWine at the Trump rally here in Ohio, he was booed. And so, mm-hmm. Rightly so. And there's actually four Republicans that are in the process of trying to get him recalled to see if he can be possibly impeached because of how he handled the whole the COVID shit. And a lot of it isn't really necessarily just him. It's because he let Amy Acton in Echo Bars run loose. I mean, doing decrees at 2 o'clock in the morning and trying to set up things where she can do gun control because of a health crisis? Are you fucking kidding me? So she not only is a big Obama supporter, but she's got big brackets next to her last name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you can see the stupidity of all this, really, these Democratic governors, shutting down bars and restaurants. And then when they did finally let some of them open back up, they have this stupid, ridiculous curfew where you have to be last calls at 10 o'clock. You have to be done drinking and basically, I guess, out of the bar by 11. So it's almost like, between the hours of 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon all the way up until 11 o'clock, there's no chance you're going to catch COVID. But Lord forbid you're out past 11 and you're not home by midnight. Your carriage turns back into a pumpkin and you're going to catch the coronavirus because you stayed out at this bar or restaurant for another hour or two that night, having another beer. It's just absolutely ridiculous, Sonny. It is. It's just, we can tell that this is all just a farce. It really is. It's one of the greatest farces in the history of our country, this coronavirus bullcrap. And it's just a way basically to tank Trump's economy, make him look bad so that they can try to push all the blame for this on him, where honestly, if it wasn't for him with the travel ban in the very beginning of this thing, if this disease really is real and it really is killing people off, he saved a bunch of people. He absolutely saved a whole lot of people by installing that travel ban in the very beginning. And these governors who think that, if you're not home by midnight, you're definitely going to catch the coronavirus. Well, that's just crap. That's just crap. It really is.
Yeah, I didn't buy the whole thing at all because I just didn't see it. And then you go by the hospitals and there's nobody there. So if there was really a pandemic going on, there would have been lines out the frickin' yin-yang, and nothing could be farther from the truth. And so I know a lot of people are really pissed at Cuomo in New York, and there's actually moves there to get him out. So it's going to be interesting to see how long that political dynasty finally collapses because of his own stupidity. And not to mention, he would put, you know, COVID-confirmed cases in the nursing homes. So if I was any one of those families and my elderly sibling died from that shit, I would sue his ass off personally, not just to get a but him personally, so I make sure I can tag every fucking last bit of dollar he's ever had in his life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he definitely sent people to their death. You know, there's no doubt about it that he is responsible for thousands of murders or thousands of deaths in New York just by his own hand and his own stupid decisions.
Yeah, so he's been tried for manslaughter and wrongful death suits left and right, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I disagree with you talking about making sure you've got, if you do have extra vehicles, make sure they're strategically placed so they're not too far from wherever you're at in any given direction. If you are able to have more than two vehicles, make sure it's a place where you know it could be secure, maybe it's a little more remote. I mean, all those things do come into play, but there are a lot of good survivalist videos on YouTube on what to do in case of an emergency pack or a bug out pack. I just saw this this one redneck I follow. He's down in Mississippi or something, but he was showing what do you do with basically a rescue pack. Like if you're stuck on the side of the road or you're out somewhere and you get lost, make sure you got this pack with you and it should have at least these items so that way you can either procure things, protect you from the elements, help build shelter, or to be seen. So make sure you wear, bright colored vests, maybe even something wrapped around your head that's bright colored so they can be seen from above. I mean, you don't want camouflage or seclusion. You want to be seen. So if people out there looking for you, you got to make sure that you get bright colors. And not only that, but a lot of people don't think about this, but you should do this periodically. Even if you keep tools in your vehicle, just periodically when you get a nice day or you're on your lunch break, go out to your vehicle, open up your toolbox, see what you got. And if you don't have it all in front of you, lay everything out. How many screwdrivers do you have? Do you have any hammers? Do you have a staple gun? Do you have anything? Do you have things that could be considered tools, such as, a knife or flay knife or something? Especially if you keep it in a toolbox, cops can't say you're carrying a weapon because it's in a toolbox. So another thing that Jack had brought up is to make sure you've got provisional weapons as well, but you can easily justify the use for having them in your vehicle, such as if you got a decent 2x4 with nails in it, well, make sure you got another couple scrap pieces of material there and just say, oh, I was working on a deck and I was needing to get something this size or try to find nails this size or whatever. If you have a hammer in your car, make sure you got something that looks like you were building something so that way they can't say you're carrying a weapon. If you've got a knife, then make sure it's sheathed and you've got other fishing equipment or anything else that may look like you could be, that you prepare after you go hunting. So things like that. So that way you're legally covered if they raise eyebrows about why you're carrying this thing in your vehicle. It's part of something else. And so it doesn't look as suspicious. I mean, we live in a day now where people can walk around with sunglasses and masks and walk into stores and nobody says shit. What was that joke I saw on the meme? We live in a town now where if you have shades, sunglasses, and duct tape in your trunk, nobody will look at you funny.
Yeah, what's usually considered to be a rape kit is now basically perfectly fine to walk around your city streets with. I mean, those are the weird times we're living in. He also mentioned the baseball bat. I know I have a few of those myself. Yes. If you're going to carry that in your car with you, make sure you have a baseball and a glove with it. Just a bat by itself definitely looks like you could be up to no good. But if you've got that baseball and the glove, well, hey, I tutor some local kids in baseball or I just had my kids out at the park and we were hitting the ball around and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's stuff that you can have in your car right now that could definitely help you out in a lot of different situations, and especially if you're being attacked by one of these savages, that, you can completely justify having these items in your car for no other reason other than what they are actually intended to be used for. But then at the same time, these things can, you know, double as a weapon should shit hit the fan. For some reason, you're away from your gun, and you know, it's like I explained. There for a while, I'd stopped carrying my gun with me everywhere I went. Well, I don't do that anymore. You know, it's like I explained on my show, I'm not going to be one of these people that's drug out of their car and beaten in the middle of the street, you know, to death. Yeah, I'm not going to end up like that guy. You know, I'm not ending up like him. And I've seen that video several times. And it's just like,
I remember when that shit happened, man.
Why do you even stop?
I was in high school.
I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, that big of a truck, you're driving a semi, why do you even stop knowing what's probably going to happen to you? So, one, try not to stop, you know. I believe Trump actually just put in some law that if it's a mob blocking the roadway and you feel that your life's in danger, you don't have to stop. So why would you? So, you know, things like that, and then having stuff in your car that, you know, can serve as a deterrent for someone to come at you, or might just save your life, but it does have, you know, additional ordinary uses, but make it look like it's being used for the ordinary traditional use and not for anything other than that, you know? So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I let him talk. He was on the show for about an hour and 20 minutes of the program. I brought him on after me and Brian got done talking about, you know, the justice, Ginsburg passing away and all that, and what might happen now that's gone, and the fact that we get to fill another Supreme Court seat. But I let him talk because he was making so many good points. I honestly was in awe of what he was saying, because it's like he was like hitting the nail right on the head every time. You know, so much of the stuff he said is so vital for us right now.
Yeah, he's stating the obvious. So, I mean, that's the thing you need. There was actually a series of Prepper magazines that were like at Kroger and stuff that I was picking up. I think they stopped carrying those, but there's a couple really good ones that I had. One was, they had a scenario, and they gave it to four different survivals preppers and said, okay, here's the scenario. How would you deal with this? And basically, the one that I picked up was, you're based in downtown Birmingham, Alabama, and you're at a light, and all of a sudden an EMP attack hits and takes out the whole damn area. And first thing everybody's going to do is realize car's not working. Then they go for the cell phone. The cell phone doesn't work. And then 15, 20 minutes, people are going to start gathering around, realize what the fuck's going on. And then within as many as a couple hours, once people start figuring out what's going on, things could change fairly quickly. So he suggested that you should drive like an old-style Jeep. And since they have like the basic old style chips that you can replace as a CPU,
to keep
an extra wrapped up in like some of that foil type of materials, that way it doesn't get burned up by the EMPs, and then just grab a small bug out bag, take off, come back in the night when most people are probably not paying attention to the cars, swap out the chip. Fire up your vehicle, get the fuck out of there, go find a place to go. In this particular situation, you found an abandoned factory, cut the chain, got in, refastened it, pulled in there, pulled out his kit, again, laid out everything in front of him, see what he had. Even though you may have packed this thing recently, you need to have a fresh visual count of everything you have, tools, first aid, what have you. That way you've got everything in front of you, because it might save your life later on, because you remember you had it. And, go out and try to get other provisions, try to scrounge up other containers, some gas, what have you, and then, you know, just kind of get yourself some strategic positions so that way you can kind of keep an eye on your surroundings. But just the whole interesting scenario just made you realize, dude, at any given time, you can be put in that particular situation. I mean, look at the movie First Love with Rambo. You know, I mean, seriously. As soon as he got out of that police station, he was out there in the woods. First thing he had when he left is he had his knife. That's really all he needed, besides his wit. How quickly did he, grab some sort of material to use as the covering over his body, because he only had a tank top on, and quickly found other provisions he need, found a cave, made a spear so he can kill a boar. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, he had everything down pat. Of course, this is his profession. and he's a master at it. But the bottom line was he was able to get his lower order deeds taken care of in a matter of a couple of hours. And now, can you say that? Can most people say that? Probably not.
No, well, most people can't. And, I mean, if you noticed in that movie in particular, did he have an automobile, Sonny? I don't remember him ever having access, maybe later in the movie, after he procured one, but having access to an automobile. So
he had a motorcycle temporarily that he hijacked. That was it.
Okay. Well, still, and this was another point that Jack brought up. Can you walk a mile and a half? Can you walk 2 miles? And if you can't, you might already be in trouble. So, I mean, you need to be, like I said, getting yourself into condition. And no time is better than the present right now. And make sure that if you don't have access to an automobile, that you're not stranded. You know, that you can get to where you need to go by foot if need be. You know, and know the layout of the land. Another good point that he brought up was having a map, several maps. Know your area. I mean, this is going to be crucial for our people's survival if we have to, you know, flee away as far away as we can get from the downtown inner city areas to know where we're going. Yeah, another thing you brought up was a compass. So you have to know your area, know your surroundings, and know where you're going to be able to go. All of this needs to be predetermined. It can't be something that, well, here it is. Let's see, where can I go? Nope. You're probably not going to make it at that point, folks. You're probably not. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're probably not going to make it. So you need to already have this contingency plan laid out well in advance, know where you're going to go, know who you're hooking up with, and it don't have to be a large group. In fact, it's better if it's not a large group, but you need 3 or 4 other people who you know have your back and you have theirs, and you're all bringing something to the table together. Like you said earlier, what one of you's bringing the food, one of you's bringing the ammo, the other guy's bringing the water. So, I mean, you know, you need to have all of the stuff in place already. If you don't, you're running out of time, and you may already be out of time if you live in some areas to start getting this stuff together. So, I mean, you have to start thinking about it if you're not already thinking about it right now. You don't have any time left. You don't have another 5 or 6 years to prepare yourself. Those days are gone. The days of prep are gone. It's time to already have this stuff in place and know exactly what you're going to do should the shit hit the fan, should the cell phones go down, should the car stop working.
Well, not that too, but when the food stops, most people only keep about a week's worth of food in their homes. So that being said, and a lot of people don't know how to cook anymore, so even something you could just throw together for some basic sustenance, a lot of people don't even know the basics on how to do shake and bake, much less how to fucking fry chicken. So another thing is considered too is that within 5 days of the lights going out, food's going to start running out, and your neighbor's going to turn into an asshole real quick. Within 7 to 10 days, you're going to have roving bands of marauders around looking for provisions, and they're not going to just be settled with your food. They're going to take anything you got, whether you got firearms or what have you. And if you've got, wife and young daughters, expect them to be property to be taken as well, or at least pillaged. So that's something that you got to think about, because it's human nature, man. And then in too many scenarios, we see when that shit happens, people start losing their cool real fast. So even the most ardent prepper could be short-tempered because of the fact that he knows he's on red alert and it's running down on the senses. You know, a lot of these guys are, you know, ex-military, are used to this type of shit, put into those scenarios or have lived through them, so they would be more adept to dealing with it. I mean, just watching the movie 13 Hours, how much these warriors, and I call them warriors because this is who they are, how much these guys were able to fucking try to contain the area, fight off the enemy as much as possible in an Alamo type of situation against unsurmountable odds, and still only lost, what, 2 of their members in the process? So, I mean, but still, who knows how much longer they were able to hold out. But not only did they perform well under pressure, but they did their duty to the best of their ability and got as many of their American brothers and sisters out as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, you need to make sure that you're storing up on food that you know, has a very long or far-off expiration date or not one at all. You know, rice, beans, pasta noodles, spaghetti and stuff like that. That stuff stays good for a very, very long time. Usually comes in a compact box that, you know, you can load up a backpack or two with these types of food. So, I mean, it's just, it's very, very important that, you know, you're already in the process. If not have it done already, you're in the process of getting this stuff together and storing it somewhere where you know you can get to should the world go to shit. I mean, it's just, you got to have the stuff ready, Sonny. You have to, because it's here. It is here.
Well, you know, that being said, it wouldn't hurt to take an old vehicle and turn it into the road warrior, man. I mean, something as simple as Escape from New York, having bars across the windows like the station wagon the snake policeman was driving. I mean, something as simple as that, just keep it in the garage. People might think you're fucking crazy, dude, but it's better to have it, not need it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and that's true of all this stuff. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's for sure.
Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
I mean, man, I'm just sitting here watching the craziness that's going on in my own state tonight. You know, this is a state that I didn't think I'd ever see the day when this kind of crap went on and thugs and mobs of people have taken over a city here in my state. So, I mean, you know, just to take it from someone who thought that he'd never see it in his state. Well, it's happening, folks. So, I mean, you know, the threat is real. And even if you live in one of these nice neighborhoods, like we said at the beginning of the show, it's going to eventually spill over into your neighborhood. So you have to be ready for this stuff to happen. And if you're not ready, then you've already lost. You've already lost. So you have to be ready. So go back, listen to the entire European American news from last Sunday. Listen to what Jack says. Take his suggestions to heart. And anything that you can do that he mentioned on that show, make sure you're doing it, because it'll save your life. It'll save your life.
Plus, opening song tonight was Raise Your Fists by Battle Beast. We also included Kai Murrow's speech on hate, and I think that's a really powerful statement, man. It really speaks volumes about why we need hate, because hate will definitely keep you alive, especially when the shit hits the fan. Or you're in a situation where you're captive, eventually one day you will take up the jailer that put your ass in there. So there's people that their whole existence is to go after the persecutor or whatever that's in there.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.